the same.
The Big Fib.
Let's play the game.
The Big Fib.
We're still on fire, busting liars. But now,
the Big Fib.
From Hatsboro, Pennsylvania, it's the Big Fib, Wacky Khakis edition. And now your host and the most predictable woman in the world.
What?
Deborah Goldstein.
Hello and welcome to the Big Fib. I'm your host, Deborah Goldstein, and with me as always is our sound effects robot, Lisa, whose name stands for Live in Studio Audience.
I knew you'd say that.
Well, yeah, I guess that's how I always introduce the show, but you really think I'm the most predictable woman in the world?
You see, I know what you're going to say before you even say it.
Oh, but can you predict what I'm going to say when I mix it up?
I sure can, Deborah, because even when you mix it up, you're predictable.
Oh, really? Well, I suppose if I'm that predictable, you can just go ahead and finish the show without me. See what I care.
Maybe I'll just pack up my things and go take a spa day.
Hey, how are you doing this?
You see?
Wow, I guess I have become predictable. In that case, I suppose you can predict what I'm going to ask you to do next?
Explain how we play Wacky Khakis. Honestly, Deborah, it's like clockwork with you. Each time we play Wacky Khakis, Deborah and I each tell one crazy story about the world. Except only one of those stories is true. And it's the job of two human child contestants to figure out
which one is bread. Thought you were going to say witch there.
That's the difference between you and me, Deborah. I always keep you on your toast. Nice try. And with us to introduce this week's theme is our producer, Noah.
Ha! Got it that time.
Hi, Deborah. Hello, Lisa. Predictable or not, it is always a pleasure to be with you both. Anyway, our theme this week, fashion statements. Deborah and Lisa will each bring us one sartorial story. But of course, only one of those fashion statements will be a statement of fact. And now, Lisa, would you please introduce the human child contestants responsible for picking out the right clothes?
Absolutely. Our human child contestants are Liam from the pie episode and his brother, Owen, from Liam's family. And here they are. They're going to say things.
Hi.
My name is Liam.
And my name is Owen.
Hello. Hey, Liam. Hey, Owen. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good.
Yeah? Did you have a fun time on the pie episode, Liam?
Yes, I did.
Nice. So, you knew a thing or two about pie. Tell me what you guys know about clothes. You have any strong opinions about fashion? Curious to know.
No. I wear what I can see. That's in my
shirt.
Uh-huh.
So you don't care if something's a brand name or if it has a logo on it? Anything like that?
Unless it's like pink or purple, I don't like it. Any other color, I don't care.
Got it.
Owen, what kind of clothes do you like to wear? Do you care much about your wardrobe?
No, but there is one thing I have to wear. A mask.
Right.
Yeah. Our masks have pugs on it.
Cute.
Pugs?
Is that because you have a pug dog?
Oh, pugs. I heard hugs.
I heard hugs, too.
Pugs, yeah.
With a P.
Maybe your masks should have hugging pugs. You ever think of that?
Hugging pugs?
Yeah. Hugging pugs wearing Uggs.
That's rather wacky.
Oh, wow.
Okay, folks, it is time to play Wacky Khakis. Since this show's format is as predictable as our host, you should already be well aware that in Wacky Khakis, Deborah and Lisa each have a minute and change to bring us their stories. Deborah has won the coin flip. Lisa, any guesses as to whether she chose to go first or second?
Well, she likes to go second, but since she's trying to prove she's not predictable, I'm going to say she wants to be up first.
Remarkable. That is exactly what happened. All right, Deborah, you ready to tell us your story?
Why don't you ask Lisa?
Yeah, she's ready.
Okay, perfect. Listen up carefully, everybody. We are going to start Deborah's timer now.
They say you should dress for the job you want, not the job you have. But what if you already have the job you want? How should you dress then? This was the exact conundrum faced by Ines Schultz when she became the president and CEO of BMW, the German car manufacturer. Throughout her professional life, Schultz had always spent heavily on her wardrobe, Gucci pantsuits, Garavani heels, the works. Schultz had never particularly enjoyed wearing fancy clothes, but that was the corporate culture. Business executives, especially women, were expected to dress well if they wanted to be promoted. But since there's no getting promoted from president, Schultz made an unorthodox decision at her first board meeting as head of the company. She showed up in pajamas. The board of directors were initially shocked to see the 52-year-old executive enter the boardroom wearing polka-dotted cotton PJs and a pair of fluffy Pikachu slippers, but Schultz sat down at the head of the table and announced, "There is no one left for me to impress. Now it is your job to impress me." Oddly enough, Schultz still enforces a strict dress code upon her underlings at BMW, some of whom have reportedly been sent home to change after they arrive to work in pajamas themselves. "If you want to dress like a slob, you had better become the boss first," she told GQ magazine. Schultz has become something of a cult icon of German fashion, and in the past several years, it has become commonplace in Germany for female executives to arrive to work in pajamas to assert their powerful status. In March of 2019, German Prime Minister Angela Merkel delivered a press conference in sweatpants and an oversized Slipknot t-shirt in an apparent nod to Schultz. Schultz is credited with coining the term "innerer Schweinehund," which roughly translated means elegance through sloppiness.
And time. Nicely done, Deborah.
Danke.
Bitte. Liam, Owen, what did you guys think of that story?
Crazy.
Sounded totally true, right?
But Lisa's might be crazier.
Yeah, mine's probably going to be crazier.
If you became head of a company, don't you think you'd stop wearing nice clothes and maybe just, you know, show up in your PJs?
That's kind of what I do.
I mean, there is pajama days. So.
Right, at school. I mean, you guys are going to school in part remote right now. Is that correct? So do you guys show up to school in your pajamas?
No.
Kind of.
Wait, is there a dress code for online school?
No.
No, but if there was, I probably wouldn't follow it.
Yeah. Nice. Rebel.
You're channeling your innerer Schweinehund.
Easy for you to say.
Now it is time to hear Lisa's story of fashion action. Lisa, we will begin your timer now.
There are a few unwritten rules of human fashion that most people follow. Never wear socks with sandals, don't match black shoes with brown belts, and avoid wearing white after Labor Day. It's not totally clear how these rules came about, but the punishment for breaking them is usually the same. Your more fashionable friends might make fun of you, Deborah. But if you happen to get caught up in New York City's Straw Hat Riot of 1922, a little bit of mocking would have been the least of your worries. That's because the teenage hooligans enforcing the fashion rule of the time period, which was that you shouldn't wear a straw hat after mid-September, did more than just make fun of straw hat wearers they encountered in the street. Instead, they grabbed the hats off of their heads, stomped on them, and got into fistfights that on more than one occasion landed people in the hospital. The marauding teens were reported to number in the thousands, terrorizing straw hat wearers across multiple neighborhoods throughout New York City. Some carried long sticks with nails on the end in order to whack hats off of heads they couldn't get close to. On the night of the riot, dozens were arrested and some thrown in jail by a New York magistrate named Peter A., and I'm not kidding you, Hatting, who was quoted as saying a man has the right to wear a straw hat in a snowstorm. According to the New York Times, at the East 104th Police Station, cops decided that seven of the hat snatchers they had caught were too young to face criminal prosecution. So instead, their parents were called into the precinct to give them a right, proper spanking.
Oof. And time. Nicely told, Lisa. Well, what did you guys think of that story?
I loved it. I thought it was great. And Lisa's amazing.
Each one is crazy, but Deborah's is more crazy, I think.
You guys live in New York. Do you ever walk around with a straw hat after mid-September?
No, we don't have straw hats at all.
I see. So you don't quite have the frame of reference to know whether it's safe or not to walk in New York with a straw hat.
I know this from experience of listening to them. The one that's more crazy is always right.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I could be crazier. Mine, okay, also, I didn't mention that the kids that were knocking off the hat were part spider.
That is not part of the story.
Okay, friends, we have reached decision time. Now it's time for our contestants to tell us who's got the fashion of the day and whose story is so 5 minutes ago. Do you believe Deborah's story of Innerer Schweinehund, the German practice of powerful people wearing pajamas to work just because they can, or Lisa's tale of the Straw Hat Riot of 1922?
I think Deborah's is more crazy, so I want to choose that one.
They're both funny crazy.
Hmm.
Funny is usually kind of fake, but it's usually also kind of real.
Hmm.
True that.
So is this leading you to one decision or another?
Deborah is the liar. Actually, no. Deborah is not the liar. Wait, I'm confused now. I confused myself.
So, your final decision, what is it?
Deborah is true.
Yeah.
Lisa is lie.
Okay then, let's find out here. Will the person who told the real fashion statement story please reveal who you are?
It was me! Lisa, telling the truth. Bet you couldn't have predicted that.
Oh man.
I usually get it right, but this time I got it wrong.
Yeah, I believe that. Lisa had the real story this week with his recounting of the Straw Hat Riot, and Deborah, I'm afraid, was lying about Innerer Schweinehund, which actually means inner pig dog. It's not clear why thousands of teenagers chose to enforce the Straw Hat Rule with such violent zeal, other than that, as we established in our episode on flagpole sitting, there really just wasn't that much fun stuff to do back in the 1920s. Strangely enough, though, hat shops throughout the city did incredibly well that night, providing felt hats to those who had lost their straw ones. And the New York Times headline read, "Straw Hat Smashing Bears Heads from Battery to Bronx. Stores do thriving business, but many youthful marauders are arrested and seven are spanked at station by irate parents." Man, I just love me a long old-timey headline.
Well, here's a long old-timey headline for you then. Big Fib wraps up another successful round of popular bonus segment Wacky Khakis. Children, listeners, and sound effects robot thanked for their participation in SAME.
See page 13 for how Lisa was right. The Big Fib is a production of Gen Z Media. Find us online at gzmshows.com, where you can find more great Gen Z podcasts. Find out how you can participate and submit questions for me to read on Ask Lisa. And I ask you this from the heart. Follow us on social media at The Big Fib Podcast for behind-the-scenes photos and more true facts. And if I see any of you, wearing a straw hat in October, by gosh, I will leave it on your head and not even touch it, because it doesn't matter to me.